What's up, folks? Welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. I'm joined with Brad Olson, who's a good friend of mine, and we still got to go to Burning Man, but expert on all things UFO, esoteric. Guy has authored about a million books. I don't even know where to begin with this. Brad, thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, Nino. Great to be here. Good to see you again. Yeah, we're going to go to Burning Man. We're going to do it one of these days.
I got to do it. That's like the only festival I haven't been to, man. I've been to everything else.
Yeah, you'd love it. We could also do the 4th of Jupiah is also another one they do up there for free. And I'm doing a party on my ranch in early August, which is just.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, dude, it's so hard when you're sober, bro. It's just like.
Oh, no. There's a lot of people that are sober there. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what the difference is? Is like when you're sober and you're around a lot of people, you're like, ah, you can't really stand it. When you're drunk and around a lot of people, yeah. It's awesome. It's the difference between like awesome and not awesome to me. But anyway, man. Yeah, Brad. So Fog of War, here we are. Oh, before I do that, folks, get your trim in Nino. We've all seen the headlines about those miracle weight loss shots, but the 2026 data is officially in, and it's a wake-up call. A major analysis revealed that once people stop the injections, they regain an average of 60% of that weight within a year. Even worse, most of that gain is pure fat, but the muscle they lost stays gone forever, leaving them with a crashed metabolism and a body that's functionally older than when they started. That's why I'm obsessed with today's sponsor, GLP-1 Elevate. Instead of using needles to override my system, which is very dangerous, we all see the Osbournes and other celebrities that look just dilapidated. It looks terrible. They use metabolite to help my body naturally boost its own hunger control signals. I get the same fullness and fewer cravings, but without the scary side effects or the metabolic rebound. It supports my goals while protecting my muscles so I can actually keep the results for good. Go to Trim with Nino, folks. Get 50% off right now. It's at the link down below. Get started on that. Have you seen these celebrities, dude? Like how they look? Like it's kind of scary. Like Zombieland. Like
cut off
from meat on their bones.
They're not doing more. They got cut off.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe, dude. Maybe this is cover. I don't know.
But I like your natural solution. I've been taking amino acids. My dad just gave me. We're up here skiing in Colorado, and just in a week, I've noticed what a difference it's done for my energy level and the gut's coming off, and you can feel the muscles are getting stronger. So
yeah, I'm swimming in my clothes now. Like I'm like, I got to make sure I don't lose too much weight. You know what I mean? I'd like to. I always said, you know, I'd like to drop 20 pounds just to feel good on my back and my knees.
Yeah,
but you know, whatever. I mean, I don't want to look like a malnutrition or I'm on the HIV diet or something, you know what I mean?
We won't have you shrivel up like that. You're not going to disappear on us.
Start disintegrating in front of everybody. Oh, man. But, dude, so I think – let's just kick it off like this, man. We're in the fog of war. We are now – I really do believe – a lot of people get on me about this, but I'm going to go to my grave with this, I think. I mean – I feel like Trump is an operation. I feel like they want to fulfill prophecy. I think we're getting ahead of the ball with Iran. I think we're trying to stop the whole alien card from being played. I think that Trump is going to intercept the UFO disclosure. I mean, it just seems to me like the globalists are going full speed ahead with their agenda and their plan, but we're trying to upset the apple cart at every turn. Do you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And remember, they have to tell us what they're up to. This is the revelation of the method. It's an occultic practice because in our free will world, you can't just spring this stuff on people. You have to announce it ahead of time. And by doing so, then you can say, hey, we gave the people the information. If they didn't follow it, then it's on them.
So even if they put it in movies or commercials things like that, it still counts. I mean, that's kind of
revelation of the method. Absolutely.
Wow.
And we know who controls all the media and Hollywood and our politician through the honeypot traps. So they have everything lock, stock, and barrel controlled. But what they don't have is the free thinkers like us and your audience who can see through this stuff and who can see what they're planning on doing next. Now, you and I have talked about Project Bluebeam and the possible fake alien invasion, and that would be part of this whole apocalyptic scenario, which goes all the way back to Albert Pike, who said that this World War III would pit the Christians versus the Muslims versus the Jews.
Yeah, I've been posting that on my social media a lot. I'm like, dude, tell me this is not playing out like what he said. I mean, it is to the T.
To the T. And see, that's what it is. This, they want to have this whole thing happen. That's why that country in the Middle East, the little one, is just getting pounded. I mean, they both are, and it's a total tragedy, loss of life. And it could be that not only was, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, revelation of the method
is a leader killed, nearly. But also possibly the prime minister of that little country in the southeast.
I mean, their main objective would be to fulfill prophecy, right? I mean, that would be like the main thing they want to do. So they don't care how this. Really, at the very core of this, it's all about prophecy.
Right, right. And you see how the key aspect of the revelation of the method, hiding it in plain sight. So we saw the movies, we saw all the movies about alien invasion and stuff. That's the occultic loophole. Exactly right. And then they make fun of us if we don't take them for what they're telling us, this psychological programming, the mocking of the victim. I mean, it just shows you what sick minds are pulling this stuff off.
Oh, you're right. Mockery of the victim. The method is described as a grinning mockery or psychological warfare where elites mock the public by demonstrating their power, secure in the knowledge that the public will not or cannot stop them. So it's like, yeah, like basically making fun of us, hiding it out in the open, like antagonizing us, psychological programming. It serves to desensitize the population to these events, making the shocking or traumatic appear inevitable or normal.
And look, the approval rating of this current war is in the low 20s. Even Afghanistan and Iraq were 70 and 90% approval because they blamed it on the Muslims.
Yeah, because we had that event to kick it off.
Yeah, but this one, totally unprovoked attack. The U.S. cannot backpedal and say, oh, it wasn't our fault. Yeah, it was. It's completely your fault. And so Trump's taking a big hit, and it could very well be the prime minister of that little nation in the southeast corner of the Mediterranean got taken out. Remember right when this whole thing started about 16 days ago? One of the first targets was Cyprus in the Mediterranean. Yeah. That's a NATO country. Iran hitting a NATO country, but nothing really came of it, right? That should have really triggered NATO getting involved in this conflict a lot more than they are. But where did the prime minister go hiding in the first 14-day war? Cyprus. So I think they were tracking him down and could very well have got him. Now, I know you just did a big show on whether or not he's dead, but that video that came out 2 days ago, and he's gone missing for about a week
now. Yeah, and his son's not even posting anything, which is weird, which I'm sure he'll start now, but that could be anybody posting. But like, he's like, I mean, so here's this six-fingered video. You remember when Biden did the whole hands through the mics and people were like, what the hell are we watching and what kind of reality are we living in? Remember that the AI was
Biden. Oh yeah. Same.
And this is like the same thing. This is like, here he is with like six fingers, dude. Like, how do you explain that? Oh, glitches in the camera or the digital. I mean, could be, but I think this is AI. I mean, he was missing teeth and kinds of crazy stuff. And this like would make sense with Scott Bessent when he got pulled over to the side in the middle of the interview and he was visibly shaken. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen that interview yet. Ooh. No. I'll check it out. Yeah, and just like that Biden glitch, isn't it interesting? Where is Biden? How come we have not heard a peep out of that guy in the last 2 years since the election? He's just disappeared, right? Well, he's probably been dead for a couple of years now. And they were playing in with doppelgangers, with the masks, with AI, and with possibly clones. But the thing with clones, Nino, is if the host is dead, they glitch out really easily. They can't really play that other person for very long.
Now, why is that, Brad? Why is that? Can I ask you this? Like, so are they don't, from my understanding on clones, can you explain this to my audience? They mature within a matter of months, and what, like, this is going to sound like Star Trek stuff, but they're grown in like labs and they mature to full, they're in full maturity in like 6 months to a year, and then just shoved out there with whatever programming they have on. That's why they're not really, they don't really know how to interact with humans. They're kind of, is that right? Or
it is very much so. And in my new book, Secrets of Antarctica, I employed a couple remote viewers to take a look at a couple GPS coordinates that I gave them. And all three of them independently came back and said, we saw the cloning labs where they're doing this stuff, where they're producing test tube humans, like you said, rapidly cloning. And that's what Donald Marshall also reported too, how they can do it very quickly. And in my book, Beyond Esoteric, I talk about the base at Dulce, New Mexico, and that's a cloning laboratory of the malevolent ET types. And so basically the formula is you take the DNA and you rapidly clone a duplicate. There are things that aren't quite the same, as we saw with Biden, that they're not a dead on ringer duplicate, but you need the host to be alive for the clones. And I say that plural because they usually make several at a time. And when the host is alive, then the host can interact and also help, let's say, program the mind of the clones. But if the host dies, that connection is severed. And then those clones are just kind of a ghost in the wilderness and not able to really function like the host would have them act.
So in other words, they learn more from being around the host and picking up on their mannerisms and demeanor are kind
of absolutely. So I would say in the case of the prime minister, maybe they didn't have his clone online in time, or now that he could very well be dead, that it's glitching out. It's not really.
Could he be in a bunker, man? I mean, they are getting shelled on. I mean, could he be just be hiding out in a bunker somewhere and lost internet? Or like, you know, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, could he be just hiding out somewhere?
Well, of course, the state media and our media, Drudge Report, haven't said anything about it yet. But the Iranian news agency, also North Korea's news agency, and Russia Today have all said, confirmed, he's dead. So the other side says, we have the evidence. We know he's gone. But in our side, in our controlled mass media,
we're
playing this charade.
Because we would not want to admit that and panic Americans, right? Because people would lose their shit.
This thing would be all over, and they would have to surrender.
And do you think that's why? Oh, wait a minute. Is that why Trump came out and said we won the war? Because that would be the perfect psyop.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because that would have been around the time BB was killed, was around that time when Trump came out and said, hey, we won the war. This is over. It's all but over. I mean, maybe that's why Trump did that. And that's why Scott Bessent was so visibly shook.
Yeah.
Just saying, I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there. I don't know.
I think you're onto something. And you know, you can tell in Trump's body language that he knows he royally screwed up. He should not have done this.
But I don't think we had a choice, Brad. I know that sounds like cliche, but I don't think we had a choice. I think we had to get a hold. I think this was a globalist card that was going to be played whether we liked it or not. And Trump wasn't about to just kick the can down the road for it to happen at a later time. I think while we had the military, Department of War, headset, everyone on the same page, we had to neutralize or neuter the problem now. That's that's how I feel Trump was looking at this. Like, we got to go in now and take care of it. And however it's playing out is how it's playing out. And Iran obviously was very ready.
Yeah. Well, they hugely underestimated the response and how the Iron Dome and all these defensive measures that were supposed to protect these countries have failed. And now Tel Aviv is in a blackout. You've got the radar systems have been taken out. They don't even have the early warning system to run down into the bomb shelters, which are all completely filled. Hundreds of thousands of people don't even have a home now. I mean, it's becoming a very desperate situation over in that country. And I've
But if they're reporting that BB's dead in other countries, that's going to boost their morale like never before. I mean, we got their Ayatollah. I think we got two of their supreme leaders. And now if they got BB, that's like to them the great Satan. They got him. It's over. Like they that's going to boost their morale to fight for the next 100 years, 1,000 years. I mean, this is prophecy to them. This is a religion to them. So right here, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I probably do need to pray. But I'm going to play the video of Scott Bissett being pulled aside. But I got to pause it a little bit here and there because I don't want a copyright thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, here it is. So here's Bissett called into the White House mid-interview.
I listened to you on this.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
The president wants you. Sorry. The president wants you.
Okay. Okay.
So here he's smiling. He's like, okay, one moment. I'm going to go meet with the president. And the other guy looks very confused. Like, wait, we're in the middle of an interview. This must be pretty serious.
No problem at all. See you shortly, Mr. Secretary.
You can work that in.
Mr. Secretary, I have to say.
So that was at 10:22 a.m. And now this is almost 2 hours later. Or it is over 2 hours later. Or almost 2 hours later, what am I saying? 12:07 p.m. And he's back, and check this out.
It's a first, I'm sure, a last as well, that an interviewee's been pulled away to go to the Situation Room. How was the president? Was he stressed?
No, the president is in great spirits. The Iranian mission is proceeding well ahead of schedule. And, you know, I have to tell you, Wolf, that I have a teenager who's considering military service, and I could give this team my highest compliment, from President Trump to the head of the Joint Chiefs to the Secretary of War. I would say that I would trust my child's life in their.
What do you think?
Sounds like a propaganda piece. Yeah, everything's going swimmingly well.
But did you hear how shook up he was?
And he shook up. Yeah, obviously. I remember him getting pulled out, and that's very unusual. It would have to be something very big, like, oh, we just found out BB's dead.
Uh-huh. That's where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
And that would have been around the time that Trump came out, and you know how Trump would handle it. We're winning. We won. It's over. To cover up for it, I this could be the game changer, man. I don't know. But, I mean, is this what would be saving Israel for last? You know, like, maybe it's – kind of, maybe. How did you know it wasn't a false flag from us? How do you know that we did it under the cover of Iran?
You know, and another theory I just saw on social media is maybe BB's doing it to escape to Argentina or something and go undercover, because there are many arrest warrants out for him. He can't even fly over Scandinavia. If they know he's in a plane, they'll force it down and arrest him. So he knows they're coming after him.
So if he does have a clone, we'll see it. I mean, look what we saw, or someone in makeup at least, because look what we saw with Jim Carrey. That was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, like, if BB is dead, they're gonna push this guy out whether he likes it or not any day now.
Yeah.
If they're gonna keep the story going that he's alive, you better believe they're scrambling for, all right, who's his replacement, right?
Right. Now, they just did a war room yesterday, and only three of the top 8 or 9 generals, which BB would always be in attendance, were there. And so there's also talk that 5 of his top generals got taken out. And it's already known that his brother was staying at his house, and it got a direct hit in his, Bibi's brother's dead. That's already known. But then these five generals and Bibi himself, that would be a huge morale boost to, yeah, the other side. So they definitely have the motive to try to change all that.
But I mean,
remember, Nino, Jim Carrey was accused of playing Biden with a mask.
Right.
He was one of the actors who was doing this.
That's true.
That guy, Arthur Roberts.
So what do you think of this? Do you think that's even Jim Carrey right there? I mean,
Probably not.
The mouth is definitely different. But he has the dimples in the same place. Mm. Ears kind of look the same.
But look at the mouth. Totally different.
The forehead's definitely a bit bigger.
Yeah. And how could the hair...
He kind of has the same type of... he kind of still has the same kind of like... The receding hair on the side there looks the same.
Yeah.
Almost. I don't know, man. This is so wacky.
Well, just like different. The revelation of the method, though, to roll out Jim Carrey with a double, doesn't that just confuse the whole body double and wearing a mask? So now Jim Carrey's got a body double, and he was playing Biden. So it's even more confusing what's real and what's not.
Well, I got a pretty good source in Hollywood, I would say, and that's Jim Caviezel, right? And I talk to him all the time about this stuff, and he firmly believes that in clones. He no doubt in his mind that there's clones, and he also tells me all the time that, you know, he's seen the masks that people put on, and they're, you know, they're very expensive. I don't know what he said, the $100,000 mask that people can go in the restroom, like Mel Gibson can go in the restroom and slap this thing on and then come out as a completely different person, and you would not know. Throw some shades on and you look, the bone structure, everything is completely different.
Yeah, and there's videos on YouTube where people do that, and then their eyes are the only thing that show through the mask, but all the facial features move. They're very, very technologically advanced, and then they'll just pull them right off.
Yeah, I mean, this guy actually had, I believe, Jim Carrey has brown eyes. This guy had, like, hazel eyes.
Yeah, something's going on there. And it's so interesting, again, that it's Jim Carrey who was accused of playing Biden with a mask on. And this guy looks like he's got a Jim Carrey mask on. So, again,
yeah,
it's muddy the water.
Wild, bro. Like, this is this whole, like, Twilight Zone ain't got nothing on today, bro. Right? It just doesn't.
It is.
It doesn't. It's
look at how the news cycle has changed so quickly, too. All the while, it's been the Epstein file release. That's kind of gone away.
Gone.
The arrow, and that whole thing has gone away. And apparently, he is talking to the attorney general about the voting machines. And he is willing to give state's evidence for a pardon. So that could be the next news cycle, is how Venezuela, who under Hugo Chavez was working with these Smartmatic voting machine tabulation devices to manipulate elections.
I saw that Tulsi Gabbard was meeting with Maduro, but I'm trying to pull it up right now. And there's
that
nothing
was the old that. News cycle. Now we're in the news cycle. And look how quickly it changes when things aren't going well, say with everybody questioning the Epstein files and what it's saying in there. I mean, we should just be glomming onto this for days, weeks, years to come. There's so much material in those 3,000 emails that were released. And there's still another 3,000 they won't release.
And nobody's talking about it now because the war is just, if you go on X, you're inundated with visuals, videos, articles of just the war. So could the Bibi Netanyahu death thing be a psyop even? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they need. I don't, because this is the fog of war and they're working with confusion.
Yeah.
And they want to, you know, disorient the public. You know, that's a real.
We don't know what to believe. Is that even the real Jim Carrey anymore? Right.
Right.
Everything comes into question. We don't know what to believe. Everything seems to be a lie or some kind of psychological operation.
So I guess the important thing would just to be keep our eyes on the ball, you know, you know, pay attention to this election stuff. As fantastical the Iran war is and all that, just keep our eyes on the ball, because I think, and I was going to ask you about this, this is where the direction I wanted to go was the alien card. I mean, I think we get close to a nuclear Armageddon and then the aliens show up.
Yeah. Well, and we did a whole show on this a couple months ago. It is well known for the last several decades that this would be the final card that was played before the globalist world empire. And a lot of this going all the way back to Albert Pike, who is alive during the Civil War. He even predicted World War One, Two, and Three, saying that they needed to basically blow up the Middle East to start all over again and to usher in this government. He knew that back in 1870 or so when he wrote his papers on it. There's still a statue of Albert Pike in Washington, D.C. It's one of the only Confederate sympathizer statues in our capital. It's like, why does this guy
have
the popularity? Because he was telling us the revelation of the method. This is what they need to do. There you go, 1871. And look at
the Third World
War. I mean, this is just mind-blowing how similar it is happening to today's world events.
Yeah, I've been bringing this on pretty often on my podcast recently just because it's just so exact. I mean, I remember hearing about this in the 90s, to be quite honest with you, from a teacher. I can't remember. I think it was my biology teacher back in the day. And he was telling me about this because he was really into conspiracies and stuff. And that's what this was filed back as, you know, back in the day. But to me, it's so obvious that this is playing out. And like, how would you, I mean, it's going exactly to plan, dude. I mean, it just is. Taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur and the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim Arabic world, and political Zionism in the state of Israel mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided in this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, and spiritual and economic exhaustion. That's happening.
Yeah.
That's happening. We're in it now.
To the word, to the T. And, you know, Trump is hypersensitive about his legacy. Maybe BB got through to him and said, look, dude, this is our prophecy. You got to fulfill it. We got to destroy the Middle East. And then maybe Trump even thinks he could be the Messiah in this scenario.
But unless, so see where I'm going with this is, okay, folks, this is like tinfoil hat time, but I'm thinking, what if we took out BB and blamed it on Iran? And this is all, they're scrambling right now, but deep down, this is how you save Israel for last.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Just a thought, dude. I mean, it's just like, it's so confusing. And it's so obvious to me that there's so many different psyops running right now in this fog of war. And like, nobody can make sense of anything. Like, if you go look, nobody really knows anything. I mean, even my points of contact that I feel are pretty good sources, they're even like, well, we're, you know, either they're not telling me anything because they know I feel they can trust me, but they're not saying anything because nobody really friggin' knows, dude. I think it's very confusing. And I think even the people that are kind of in this inside are kind of hearing different things as well. I think everyone's confused right now and it's deliberate.
I just posted a meme that says, everything's a lie, and no, I don't have a effing link. There was a CIA director named Engelson back in the 70s, and he described it as a wilderness of mirrors, that everything looks one way, but it's just a reflection, and it's just a false entity. And another CIA director told Reagan at his very first meeting with the CIA that we know our psyops are effective. when everything the American public believes is false. So this has been going on for decades. And I would say it even goes back to when we brought in all those Nazis after World War II in Operation Paperclip, and all roads lead to Antarctica. I'm telling you that this stuff has gone underground, and they've been manipulating this country through different PSYOPs and MK Naomi and all these programs for decades now to keep us in this confused state, to never really know what's real and what's not. And now with AI, I mean, the stakes have just gone up that much higher, right? Because it's getting good. So many people send me these videos. Oh, here's proof that there's an ice wall and there's a whole civilization. It's like, dude, that's AI. Can't you see it?
Yeah, and you know what? Everyone,
it's getting real.
Everyone tests everything now on AI. Yeah. So they'll go like, is this true, Grok? Is this true, ChatGPT? It is so left-leaning, and it's the same as the MSN. They're not going to tell you what's true or not. In fact, if you're trusting AI now to give you the whatever information you're looking for, you're an idiot. Because right. It's completely controlled. Controlled. They're going to tell you, no. It's just you can't test anything on AI, dude. It's going to lie to you. It's who controls the AI.
And you know, in AI, they've already determined that 25 of the results that are given, 25% are what they call hallucination. When AI doesn't have a solution, it'll just give you a hallucination answer. It'll just make it up. Right? AI is doing that. It is lying to us because you're demanding an answer. Come on, tell me the answer. If it doesn't know it,
it lies.
Yeah, it'll just give you a hallucination result. I don't know if you know this, but I'm involved in a lawsuit with Anthropic because.
What's Anthropic? Is that AI? AI?
They basically, about a decade ago, they were using a spider to just scour the internet. And they went to illegal ebook websites and they took the content out of my books and many others and put it into this AI brain. But this AI brain, you know, once it's in there, you can't extract it. And so people found out that their content was in Anthropic AI and did this class action lawsuit, which I'm a part of. And they're basically paying out for allowing that to happen. So that's the point, is AI only gets the information that humans have provided and given to them, or in this case of hallucination, making stuff up based on probabilities. So it's the point where, yeah, you, like you said, you can't really trust it anymore.
But I mean, even if they try to play this alien card, right? No one's going to believe it because everyone's going to be like, well, is it AI or is it not? You know, no one's going to know what to believe anyway. So are we just going to just from now here on out into the next 5, 10, 15, 20, 100 years, just be confused all the time on what's real and what's not? And is that how they beat us? Is that how they legit take us over and destroy us? Is just everyone's going to have their head clear up their ass to where they need a glass stomach. You know what I mean? Nobody knows if anything's true or false anymore.
Right. Well, but that's where human intuition is going to come into play. And as we can advance ourselves mentally, that we would have that one up on AI, that we would be able to.
So human, that's profound. Human intuition beats AI.
That's right. And that's the only way we're going to beat AI, because they're going to keep coming at us. But as far as the alien card too, keep in mind that another aspect of Project Bluebeam was to project the Messiah in the sky. And what do they want more than anything else is to blow up the Al-Aqsa
Dome of the Rock,
Jerusalem, and build the third temple.
So the Dome of the Rock, right?
In the next couple of weeks, I bet that thing, oh, an Iranian missile blew it up.
Yes.
And then they're going to have the freeway to build the third temple. And that is also part of this.
Anybody who has internet now, dude, knows like what they're capable of doing. Most everyone is up to speed on Project Bluebeam and the holograms and all that stuff. I mean, I think if they were going to play that card, they would have had to play it at least 5 years ago. And if so, in a third world country where the poor people would have been on their knees, like, I don't know if they could pull it off now, man. Like you said, our intuition.
Not with your audience or you and me, but we're a minority. I've been around the world, Nino. I've been to all seven continents. And I'll tell you, people are very superstitious. They would believe an image of their Messiah. So if you're in India and Vishnu shows up in the sky, I guarantee you they'd be down on their knees praying. They would. And humans are generally pretty ignorant and gullible. And they're playing on that. They would work on that. You know,
even my mind also goes to like Fatima, Our Lady Guadalupe, like all the stuff, the premonitions, the gods that come down. I mean, I wonder if all the time, this whole time, it was always aliens doing it, or our own government. Like, I just don't know, man. Dude, it honestly feels like, and I was just saying this last night, I was like, gosh, it just feels like we're starting, like some people are starting to see through the matrix and it's just falling apart. It's like almost watching like a video game. You've played levels, you've played the same video game over and over and over and over and over, and like the video game starts wearing out and starts falling apart. The graphics start falling apart in the game and like you start seeing through into the code. And it's like, I feel like that's happening for a lot of us now. It feels like it's happening to me. I feel like everything Terrence McKenna said about time and space speeding up, novelty spiking, time wave zero, we're coming into this collapse of it just all feels like everything's happening at once now. And I know everyone feels the same way, especially those that are real awake. Like it just feels like all of this, all of a sudden you can feel the illusion. Like I can feel it. I can taste it. Like it's fake. Everything's just, this whole thing is just like, what is this? Right. Don't you feel the same way?
Oh, big time. More now than ever before too, because now you got AI. Now you've got the internet and so many deep fakes that are coming online that we really have to have this intuition among us. Even when you're looking at these AI fakes, that's really our best defense to fight all this and to know what's real and what's not, is we have to tap into that higher power. And it is our God-given right of intuition to really use to defeat AI, to defeat all this fakery out there. It's the only thing we got, really. So that's why I think people should really turn to God or their higher source, whatever you want to call it, to be a good person, to never tell lies, and always just strive for the truth. And that will enhance your intuition abilities. Being a better person will also give you more of these superhuman abilities. And I describe this in my esoteric series of books as this, and this is an age-old practice too. It's not like I'm just pulling something out of the hat and saying, yeah, intuition is going to defeat AI. This has been happening on Earth, our prison planet, for quite a long time. Even the Buddha talked about it, that there were so many illusions in this reality. They called it, the word in Buddhist texts was Maya, for illusion of reality. So it's been going on for a long time, and the controllers, even the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, the global elite, mainstream media, they know how to manipulate. And they're very, very good at it and very effective. That's why I say a lot of people are gullible. So they could pull off Project Bluebeam and probably get 80% or more people totally.
Yeah, that's all they need, really.
That's all they need, just 50%.
Right.
But if they're 80 or 90%, then they can move it to the next phase, which is then building the third temple, fulfilling.
And how many people are going to fall for that shit?
They would.
You know, and the Antichrist, the whole thing, I can imagine the Antichrist being an alien or some kind of, Yogi. I don't know, like some, you know,
sitting on the crowd.
I just look at the people, you know. I'm always surprised at these like prosperity preachers, like how they pack stadiums, like Benny Hinn or whatever his name is, or Joel Osteen. I'm dumbfounded. I'm awestruck. I just sit there and look around. I went to the service one time and sitting up there praying, and they all talk about money, dude. Money. And I'm just looking at everyone like, really, dude? You know, like, come on, man. Like, and I just, it's but they're under a spell. And you know, sometimes I, back to like the illusion of reality, you know, and like, I do feel like we're living in this alternate timeline dimension right now, right? That, you know, you see the Mandela effect happening, you see CERN and all these things that are maybe playing with our reality. Sometimes I try to slow things down, Brad, and I'll go and like watch YouTube channels, and like I'll watch camping shows and like fishing, and it just calms my mind. Or fucking Bob Ross, I'll even watch that dude paint. But like sometimes I'll go and like watch sitcoms in the 80s and 90s, like Friends or something, and I'll just be like thrown back at like the consciousness shift that we've undergone since then, like how the world was so friggin' different, and like everyone was just more social and more human interaction, and knew nothing about these conspiracies that we're talking about now, and 9/11 didn't even happen, and there was no PTSD traumatic experience for any of these people that are like, it was just you just go watch those and look at the different consciousness, human consciousness. It was a completely an entirely different dimension. And I just look at that and I just like to do that. I'd like to go and just watch that, and then I'll go back even further and watch like Leave It to Beaver and just see like how human consciousness has just changed, and then now to where we're at now, where like mental illness is like the norm. You know, or demonic possession, whatever you want to call it, and it ain't stopping.
Well, keep going back to the age of radio when Orson Welles did the War of the World radio broadcast in the late 1930s. And that was one of the original psychological operations. It was even used by the Brookings Institution, which was a think tank in Long Island that reported to the government and said, look, we tried to give them
They tried to do the alien invasion of the
Earth, and people freaked out. People committed suicide because of that radio show and went absolutely crazy, even though they said at the end, this is just a little
people believed it. You're right.
Yep, they fell for it. This is what I'm saying. People are gullible. And they know from 1938, the War of the Worlds radio drama, that people fell for it big time. So we're kind of, I would even say, hardwired, Nino, to think about what's out there. And if there are aliens, maybe they're going to come here and attack and take over the planet. Of course, they won't. They wouldn't do that. But we're hardwired to be paranoid about it ever since this War of the Worlds. And that was
It says right here, look,
institutions that we can't handle the truth.
Episode was directed and narrated by Orson Welles, an adaptation of H.G. Wells' novel The War of the Worlds, and is infamous for inciting a panic by convincing some members of the listening audience that my Martian invasion was actually taking place, and people started self-deleting.
Yep, there you go.
Wow. Yeah. Man, so they could. So I guess is, you know, you've heard the people in the CIA say, like, you know, that they're going to do that. They're going to try to pull this off. And you're right. Maybe they will pull this off. Maybe they will.
They're at such a desperate point right now, too. I wouldn't put it past them. They'll say, look, if we can get that 80% or more to believe it, that's a success. Because why would they do this whole Armageddon thing in the Middle East? What is the point of lighting this whole part of the world up in fire and missiles right now, unless they're trying to fulfill some kind of stupid prophecy?
I mean, did you ever believe it would happen in your lifetime? Because me personally, I thought maybe, but I thought, my great grandkids, you know, everyone says we always put it off to the great grandkids, but for this to be happening right now in my 40s, I'm blown away, dude.
Yeah.
I can't believe this. And it's just happening faster and faster. There's like a quickening.
Yeah. Quickening. Absolutely. It's a quickening. As we were saying, how fast the news cycles change. What's next? The Messiah in the sky over the Holy Land. And people are in a desperate situation. You see, that's kind of the other part of Project Bluebeam, is there has to be this scenario where people are really stressed out, really desperate, and it's getting to that point right now. So again, we're just watching the setup, the pieces fall into place to get people ready for the blue beam scenario, which is not just the alien invasion. That's just one aspect of it. The other part of it is the Messiah in the sky. And look, we've all seen the videos, how realistic holograms are now. You can't really tell them from reality, just like how AI is getting so realistic. So the pieces are falling in place quite perfectly.
Or do you think people like Jim Carrey, Bibi Netanyahu, and all these powerful people are going underground now and they're just disappearing?
Right. And tonight is the Oscars, and they say there are no legacy actors, that it's going to take on a whole new dimension. They don't want people talking about current events. You can't get up there and condemn whichever side.
So, really?
Yeah.
So tonight will be very telling. Hollywood. Wow. So the Oscars is tonight. I didn't even know. Tonight,
Sunday. Yep.
Wow. Is it every March, the Oscars? I didn't even know.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you know, I'm starting to pay attention more to like basketball, March Madness. I'm going to watch that, to be honest, but I didn't even know I don't watch the Oscars.
I don't go to the movies.
It's pretty stupid. Brad, thank you for joining me, man. Where do people get your books?
Hey, yeah. Well, go to bradolson.com and check out my conference schedule. I've got a dozen or so upcoming events that I'll be talking live in support of my new book, Secrets of Antarctica, The Untold History of the Ice Continent, which is doing very well. It's already in its second printing, just came out January 1st. And if people want to get a signed copy of this or any of my other books, go to cccpublishing.com. That's bradolson.com website.
That's a cool website, man.
Yeah, this is where...
Do you know Graham Hancock?
My schedule. Say again?
You know Graham Hancock? I saw him on your site.
Oh, yeah. He and I sat next to each other on a panel at Contact in the Desert. I've just been accepted as a speaker for that event, which is coming up. I'm going to Bosnia this summer with Billy Carson and a whole bunch of other events. Yeah,
wow.
We got to get you in the conference circuit, man. People would love to hear you give a presentation.
Nino's point of view. What's going on in the mind of Nino?
Exactly. That'd be the name of your talk.
Into the mind of Nino. El Nino. I always think of like Chris Farley. Dude, I used to get so much shit for that. Chris Farley, El Nino. Like, oh, God, dude. I was like, oh, no. Oh, boy. So here it is, man. This is bradolson.com. Go there, folks. Get a book. Got lots of them. How many books have you published, bro? How many books have you published?
I've published about 24. I've written 11.
You've written 11.
Jaco, Laura Eisenhower, all our mutual friends.
So if I do another book, I just go through you then.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking about your second book for a long time.
Yeah, actually. But you know what, Brad? It takes so much to write a book.
I know.
For me, the book I wrote, you know, When the Lights Go Out, if I would have known you, that would have been great. But at that time, you know, to write a book, people don't understand. Like, it's a lot of discipline and it's a lot of energy.
You got a very busy schedule.
Yeah.
Things going on in your life. I know, with your folks and everything else.
It's juggling fire, dude. But I mean, if I can do it again, I'll have to like seclude. So when I wrote my first book, I secluded myself down in Mexico and I was on the beach and I just lived at my friend's house and I just wrote there. And then I did about 2 or 3 weeks there. And then I went up into New Mexico and I did like a week there, a few days and some change, and finished the book. But I had to really like buckle down. This is, you're going to write a book. It can, this takes some people. How many people do you listen to or talk to that I'm writing a book and they've been doing it for the last 10 years?
Well, like this one took me 7 years.
Okay, so there you go. It takes forever, man. If you're not like, I did mine in a month because I just absorbed myself into the book.
Yeah,
but I have that kind of like boxing. I go away to camp and train, and I looked at it as training camp to write. I don't know. Yep. That's the way I did it.
Well, but you're disciplined in that way. So yeah.
Yeah, I've been sober 6 years, dude. How can you explain that? Yeah. But let me tell you, it's not easy. I think about drinking all the time, bro. I'm like, I'm gonna nuke everything and get out there and get hammered.
Yeah, Lord, well, alcohol's poison.
I know, but then, you know, done with it. And we're all gonna go anyway. Anyway,
sober's the new buzzed.
What is it? Yeah, yeah. This reality is so crazy. I don't think I can handle this reality drunk. So insane. Like everything going on, I'm like, this is amazing. Sober. Like, it's like, this is why I'm so consumed by everything coming out. I'm like, wow. But Brad, thank you for joining me. Stay with me just 1 second. Because it's the StreamYard and you know how that goes.
Sure thing.